I don't want to go too long here. I don't want to necessarily rush either, but I am going to try and be done with this portion of the service by 6 o'clock so that we can break and then get into communion. Mark chapter 6, I'm going to start reading. I'm not there yet myself. Turn the page. I'm going to start reading in verse number 45. 45. Contextually speaking, Christ has just fed thousands off of 2 loaves and 5 fishes. That has just taken place. Now we pick up verse 45. And straightway he constrained his disciples to get into the ship and go to the other side before unto Bethsaida, while he sent away the people. When he had sent them away, he departed into a mountain to pray. And when evening was come, the ship was in the midst of the sea, and he alone on the land. And he saw them toiling and rowing, for the wind was contrary unto them. And about the fourth watch of the night, he cometh unto them, walking upon the sea, and would have passed by them. But when he saw them walking upon the sea, they supposed it had been a spirit, and cried out. For they all saw him, and were troubled. And immediately he talked with them, and saith unto them, Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. And he went up unto them into the ship, and the winds ceased, and they were sore amazed in themselves beyond measure and wondered. Now, what I want us to focus on is going to be this next verse. For they considered not the miracle of the loaves, for their heart was hardened. Father in heaven, Lord, we certainly do love you. And Lord, we want to thank you. What you are willing to do to save us from certain judgment and an eternity separated from you. We want to thank you for your mercy, your grace. Lord, to think of the suffering you were willing to endure, to literally take our place in our judgment. Lord, thank you. Lord, even tonight as we look to your word and the importance of certain things we need to remember, Lord, when it comes to you working in our life, I pray that you would use this to strengthen us, to help us, to draw us closer to you. And Lord, even as we conclude the message, to begin to prepare us for communion. Lord, I pray that you'd work. I do pray if there's anyone here who has never been converted, who has never genuinely been saved. Lord, I pray for that conviction and that drawing that even this evening they would repent and place their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, we pray and ask all this in Christ's name. Amen. I preached, I guess it would have been, I think, Missions Conference a couple of years ago about the crossing of the Jordan River and the establishing when they crossed. Remember, the command was given, you're going to build a memorial on the other side. You're going to get 12 stones. You're going to build a memorial. And that purpose of that memorial was to remind them what God did when their children came, the grandchildren came. Why are these stones here? So they could remind them, so they could tell the story. This is what God did. It's so important that we remember the times that God has showed himself strong in our life, as well as the times, as the most important times, like on the cross, of what took place 2,000 years ago. We all know how important that is, and communion is a time to set apart to think upon that when we come to that portion of the service. If I was to even ask you right now, even apart from your salvation, if you could write down maybe just one thing where you knew this was God. He showed himself strong. I saw his strength. I saw him work. What would you write down? Now, there's one other event that took place with our text here that's not recorded in Mark. This is also happens to be the area where Peter walked on the water. Now, it's not in Mark. Some people like to scoff, see, that never happened. No, it makes perfect sense. It's not in Mark. Mark's gospel. Remember, Mark was not one of the 12. Mark is recording from Peter's perspective. Peter was a humbled man. He was a humbled man. He's not talking of himself right here. But it's also the case where Peter walked on the water. I'm not going to focus on that this evening. I want to focus on the remembering part. And so as we go through the story, we see what takes place here. The miracle of the loaves has just happened. They have been witnessing a lot already take place within the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ, the apostles. They are witnessing miracle upon miracle. They are listening to the Son of God preach over and over and over. As he goes into the villages and the towns, they are hearing the Creator of the universe speak. They're seeing the miracles. They just witnessed the feeding of the thousands. And Christ gives them instructions. He knew where they were at. There was something wrong. He says, I want you all to get in a boat. I want you to head across. I'm going to stay here. And he's going to go pray. And as they're accomplishing God's will for them, it was directed by God. Of course, a storm comes up. It was contrary. They're trying to accomplish it, but they can't do it. Christ knows what's happening. And of course, he comes walking upon the water out to them. And even when they saw him, they didn't believe it was him. They were afraid and they cried out. And the Lord has to cover and said, listen, be of good cheer. It is I. Be not afraid. It's me. Even though they saw him, it couldn't possibly be him. How often do we miss God working in our life just because we don't think he could do that? And of course, what's not in Mark is that is where Peter calls out, Lord, if it be, thou bid me come in the water. And we all know, I mean, I give Peter so much credit. I know he falls, but the guy gets out of the boat. And then, of course, when Peter sees the wind boisterous, he sings, crying, Lord, save me. And the Lord does just that. And he gets on the boat, and the Lord calms the sea and the weather, and it's just perfect. And they are all wondering. They're just amazed at what is taking place. Which is where the Lord needed to get them back. To have the wonder, to have the amazement, to have the awe. I mean, think of the miracle before the boat that they witnessed. It was a miracle of creation right before their eyes. Creation itself with the feeding of the thousands from 5 loaves and 2 fishes. And you know what Christ knew? There wasn't wonderment. They're witnessing a miracle of creation. It would have been amazing to see. Yet hours later, they're in a boat, the storm hits, and they don't even think of the tremendous power that they saw in an act of creation. They don't even consider the miracle of the loaves. Not one of them, not Peter, not John, not James, not Bartholomew, none of them. Hey, wait, we're all right. Do we not just see what he did? Did he not tell us to go here? Everything's fine. They did not consider the miracle of the loaves. So often we find ourselves in the midst of at times, a great deal of difficulty. I've been there myself where everything just seems to be falling apart. Those are the times you had better step back and consider what God has done before that trial overtakes you. There are times those storms throw us for a loop. We can tend to forget about everything else and get so caught up in the moment that we fail to see God. Fear takes over. Anxiety takes over. We can forget how great God is. The great and amazing things that he has done for us. The most incredible thing he did for us, of course, was on the cross of Calvary. And what he was willing to do to save you. Isn't it amazing to think about that he actually already knew you? It's not in time. He didn't have to wonder one day if there would be a Tim Thomas. He might have regretted that. But he already knew. You know what he already knew? I mean, and yet he chose to go to that cross and suffer like he did. He already knew the times I'd fail him. He already knew that. Too often we do not learn from what we see God do. We don't consider the loaves. I wonder what often we are missing in life, what problems we currently have in life, simply because we're not considering all that God has done. I wonder what anxiety we carry, what fear we carry, because we don't consider, we don't think He's big enough. No, that's not Him. That's not God. He's not here. He's not in this. Which leads me to the first point of this. What does not considering, what does not remembering the workings of God lead to? Drawing from our text and pulling it out of Mark chapter 6, we can see a controlling fear can take over. When faced with difficult situations, fear can come in instead of peace. It's easy to have peace when everything's all right. Did you know that? Doesn't matter who you are. You can be an atheist. You can be agnostic. I don't care who you are. When everything's peachy, you have peace. But for the Christian, the difference should be when the storm is hitting that there's still a measure of peace. Does not Isaiah 26:3 say, "Thou will keep him in perfect peace"? What's the key to that? Whose mind is stayed on thee. That's where the disciples had failed in that storm. We all know fear and faith often battle each other. And listen, when fear wins, the majority of the time, you will make wrong decisions. Ask Abraham when he went to Egypt. And the repercussions from that were significant. They're so significant, we're reaping them still today with what's going on in Israel with the war right now. Because that's when he came back with Hagar the handmaid. Fear hit. Abraham made bad decisions. He even told his wife, "Don't tell him you're my wife." This was Abraham. This is Abraham. When you stop considering the works of God in your life and all that He has done, faith will not be in control. And it's doubtful you'll even pray. Not only does controlling fear hit at that time, but even fear will hit when you do see God working. Here comes Christ walking on the water. And that makes him afraid. They cry out. And he says, "No, it's me. Be of good cheer. Be not afraid." This, at times when you see God working in your life, many times can take you right out of the will of God. I mean, I preached, was it last Sunday night, I think, how even almost disobeying God's call on my life to go to New Guinea, almost didn't go. We also see in the text a failure to recognize God. Again, many times when it's God moving in your life, you relate it to something else. And all this is a result. Remember, what's taking place in your life, the Bible gives us a direct verse. What happened to them? "For they considered not the miracle of the loaves, for their heart was hardened." Fear was set in. They put limits on God. They didn't think it was God. But why? What was taking place? They didn't consider the miracle loaves. Their heart being hardened. Why was their heart hardened? It's interesting what the word means. hardened here? Blinded? Or, I'm just going to quote, but I kind of like it, rendered stupid. So by not thinking in all that God has done, seeing what God did for you, what He was willing to do for you, the times He worked in your life, the great things He has done for you, many times it could render you stupid. Where you're in a place when storms hit, you can't even rationally come through it. Spurgeon said, "Hard hearts and painful unbelief spring up in the waste places where we bury our forgotten mercies." One of the reasons their heart was hard, according to verse 52, is really they got used to the miracles they were witnessing. Yep, we've been seeing miracles. They got used to it. It became nothing. It was no longer special. They lost the amazement. They lost the wonder. Which even as I'm not quite there yet, when we get into communion tonight, one reason this is about when we take communion, it's about not losing the wonder of what He did for us. Of taking time to set that apart, allowing it to be so special, and focusing on that tremendous sacrifice, the most important event in human history. Of not losing the amazement of also those times personally in your life when God has worked. There are things you do not want to take for granted. There are things you don't want to just get used to it. One, of course, is your testimony. The circumstances that God put together for you to hear the gospel. I mean, I can think of it in my own life, being 6 years old and in a Catholic home at the time, that my parents getting divorced, and how even in all that God was working, He also knew there was a boy right there, no doubt. Or I wanted to know God. You've heard the stories, laying down tonight, looking at the stars at night, feeling so small and wanting to know the Creator. And there's God working behind it. And again, I'd have been one of those you saw living in a nasty little apartment complex. You saw, He has no hope. But God was already working. Circumstances would come about when I'm about 12 years old. We had to move near some family. And I had an uncle that happens to go to a Baptist church. My cousin's my age, and they had asked me to go. And beyond, I didn't know they were serious church people. I head to church with them, and I hear the preaching. I mean, from the first service, I remember it grabbing me. It would be a few months later, about 6 months later, I'd put my faith in Christ. Don't ever get used to, boy, this will kill your devotions to the Word of God. So often we lose how special it is, how important it is, how much we need it. Listen, you need to be in it every day, but you have to guard against your heart hardening towards it. That you don't consider what you have. I remember I was in a service when I was a youth pastor in New Mexico. We took the teens to a youth rally in at Oklahoma City, the Corns' former church there at Jim Vineyard's church. And the one service that one night was a missionary they brought in. So this was in 1993. Yeah, I think the summer of 93. Summer of 93 is when this would have been. And they brought a missionary, and this is the wall had just went down in the Soviet bloc countries. Soviet Union has collapsed. The wall is down. Missionaries are heading in. And they had a missionary talking what he had seen, what had taken place. It was over in Russia. And he talked about when the truck of the Bible showed up, and everybody running and weeping. I mean, adults weeping as they're running to a truck, and they all knew what was in the truck. Bibles. Bibles. And I remember just being convicted. I've always had one. We have an incredible book. God's Word. Don't grow used to it. Or the works of God. the times that God has showed himself mighty and strong in your life. Don't get used to it. Don't lose the amazement of it. Another thing I think you can get used to, and that's preaching. You come in the service Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night, you don't even know what you have. You get so used to it. You get so used to it, you don't even know what you have. You know what happens? Your heart gets hardened. Your heart gets hardened. I remember when I went back to PNG, which I'm still trying to get back. I'm still hoping to get back there maybe within a few weeks here. I'm not certain yet. A lot of stuff going on with a daughter getting ready to have another baby and whatnot. But I remember when I went back and I got to see the people and we're just fellowshipping again. It's such a sweet time. Again, I spent 12 years there. And I remember them asking over and over. Know what they said? They didn't just want to meet each other. They said, can you preach every day you're here? Do you want to know what they missed? Preaching. Another thing that contributed to what was taking place. All right, they weren't considering the miracles. They were growing used to the work of God in their life. But another factor I think is important because of human nature and our sinful nature. And that is as a result of the storm itself. All right? The storm itself was leading also to the condition, I believe, of the hardening of their heart. This is what I mean by this, where they weren't considering God. They were so caught up in the current problem, the current situations, the current work. It's almost ironic how the thing that should be driving them to God is actually leading them not even to think about it. They're having to work so hard to get the boat to the other side. The storm is hitting. The wind was contrary. Listen, don't get so caught up in the work that you forget about the God of the work. It's during those difficult times as we're serving God that we simply get on our knees and plead for His help and know He's in control and trust Him, not allowing fretting and worry to take over. No, you trust Him. This brings me to coming to the conclusion of this. Things to be mindful of. I'm going to finish this up here in just a minute, heading to the cross. Before I get there, let me give you a few things all to remember, to help you, to keep your heart stirred, to have the wonder, to have the awe. You should remember those times, and if you're parents with kids, and from teenagers on down to little kids in their home, and you have those times where God showed Himself, those times that God worked, you need to think on those times. Let your children know. Be mindful. Think of those times where God wonderfully provided for you. Where there was just a time where you knew it was simply God. You've heard this story before. It's one of the sweetest ones. And He provides all the time. I mean, even from this month to whenever. But still one of the sweetest times in my life that I often think upon. Father's Day of 1992. The week before. Week before, it's Sunday morning, and I'm in my closet, and I'm getting ready for church, and I still have never owned a suit. It just mixed matches is all I had. I'm an E2 or 3 at the time. You have no money. And I'm in the closet, and it wasn't like I got on my knees and I prayed all night long. I didn't. It was just standing in the closet. I said, Lord, man, I would love to have a suit for Father's Day. I didn't tell anybody. I told my wife. I told no one. I didn't call. You know how we are. I could have called home to Mom. Boy, Mom, know what I'm praying for? No one. Monday night, or is it Tuesday night, visitation comes around. I pull in my car to show up for visitation, and Earl Faulkner, the song leader, he pulls in next, and we both get out about the same time. He says, hey, wait, don't go anywhere. I got something for you. He opens up his back seat. He pulls out a suit. He says, here, I thought you could use a suit. I mean, I just prayed it on Sunday morning, and it gets better. Because I had to go get it fitted. It wasn't like it was my size or anything like that. So I take it to a tailor to get it fitted. And she calls up Saturday before Father's Day and said, your suit is ready. And the exact price of all they did, and this is in 1993, so that was a lot of money to me, was $50. Well, I looked. I did not have $50. Did not have it. Couldn't did it. These were the times I would drive my McDonald's and just wish I had $5 to buy a burger. Did not have $50. So then I prayed. The suit's ready. I don't have the money for it. While I'm praying, Marianne, who went out to get the mail, she comes in with the mail. My mom had sent a card to us with a $50 bill sitting inside. I had my suit for Father's Day. Do you know that when difficult times hit, how often I go back to that suit? Be mindful of those times that God has provided for you. Or those times in New Guinea, I don't have time for the story, it's already 6 o'clock, when the tire flew off and how God had provided just miraculously in all that. And how that mark on the road, I know this doesn't make sense if you haven't heard the story, but that mark on the road from the tire flying off and how God had provided, just incredible. And how that mark literally stayed on the road for the next 12 years. We literally got to watch it being covered up on our last supply run in the country. And the most important thing that we need to be mindful of and to remember is the tremendous suffering of the body that was broken, of the blood that was shed. You know, I had preached a message, I don't know, a month or two ago on the importance of certain knowledge. And I said, listen, there's certain things you need to know. You don't have to be a theologian, but if there's one thing that can just really carry you through life, it's know the cross. Know it. Understand it. Realize what took place. Realize what God was doing with this redemptive act in order to save mankind from judgment. That will carry you through so much. You say, I don't have a story like this. You don't need it. You have the cross. You have that. He did that for you. Don't generalize it. He did it for you. I mean, the suffering he went through, they have that whip, the scourge that is up there. Those things were brutal. The end of those would have, from what many times would be almost like a metal ball to a hook. Glass, bone would all be involved in all of that. And so when that would hit, those hooks tearing in, ripping pieces of flesh right off. The Roman soldiers knew exactly how to use that. This is part of the suffering of the Messiah as he would be chained up to a post with hands up in the air, back exposed, while he would be scourged. The crown of thorns upon his head. This is the creator of the universe. Showing such restraint, showing such mercy and such grace, allowing this to take place. Why? For the joy that was set before him, knowing this is the only thing that will save mankind. To carry in that cross till Golgotha, the place of the skull, and allowing those nails to be driven in. With the pain shooting through. To the time those soldiers would stand up that cross, nudging it closer to the hole in the ground, and allowing it to drop, to rip all the tendons, the tissue, the muscles. And boy, would the suffering take over. Having trouble breathing as you're trying just to put pressure up. To get some breath. And the shame, of course, that you're naked before everyone. There's this shame right there. The crowd spitting and mocking. This is the creator of the universe. But as I mentioned this morning, as I went through the suffering of the cross this morning, especially once 12 o'clock hits and the judgment, the darkness hits, The abandonment takes place because He had to suffer in our place. Which is why He cried out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? He's in your place. That blood was being shed. What that body was going through was to satisfy justice for you. So that you could be saved. Listen, it wasn't a prayer that saved you. It was the death and suffering of the Son of God. And then Him defeating that death and raising again from the dead. Communion is about remembering what took place. What He did for you. But there's also another very, very important aspect to it as we close the service. And that is you need to reflect. Self-examination. We know what took place at the church at Corinth with all the problems they were having. Paul, hearing about it when he was in Ephesus and sending that letter off, he knew some of them were sick, some of them were even dead because of how they were partaking of communion. He says, you got this all wrong. This just isn't some little feast the church is to take. This is something that is solemn, that is to be special, that is to have some awe and some wonder about it. You are remembering the death of the Savior. And he said, he gave the warning, don't you dare take of it unworthily. He said, so let a man examine himself. You look in your heart. You come before the Lord and say, Lord, listen, I am sorry. See, for us, it's not to run away from communion. It's to come and bow your knee and say, Lord, please, I'm sorry. Forgive me. So as we come in tonight, please take that time to reflect as we're going to go into a time of invitation. Matter of fact, I'm going to ask Ruth just to come up now. Start playing with heads bowed and eyes closed. Let me ask you a couple of questions here tonight. If you're here right now, say, Pastor, I don't even know for certain that I am saved or that heaven is my home. I don't know for certain that if I were to die that I'm going to heaven. I don't know what's going to happen to me or I'm concerned about that. If that is you, would you just slip your hand up where I could pray for you? I won't call you out. Anybody here like that right now? Just slip your hand up for me. I see some small children. If you put your hand up, I missed it. I need you to do it again for me. All right. Christian, we're going to go into a time of prayer as we prepare for communion. I would ask that you would examine your heart. Ask the Lord, Lord, please show me. And then you come and you get that right before the Lord. Let's all stand to our feet as the piano plays. If you need to come and pray, you come and pray.